And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. Joining us now is chef, author, syndicated columnist, and our friend Linda Gassenheimer. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to all of you.
But more important, happy anniversary. Because this is the 17th anniversary.
January 6th.
Starting our 17th year together. Yes. Wow. You know, we've eaten a lot.
We've talked a lot. We've drank a lot.
Right?
And but we're looking at even a bigger anniversary.
And Bonnie and Linda haven't even aged.
He knows which side his bread is buttered on.
I have.
He knows where his chocolate is.
Hey, what about me? I haven't aged.
Hello, Fred.
Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Right. Our 17th year together. But as you mentioned, another anniversary. The Biltmore Hotel is celebrating its 90th year here to give us the history of this special Miami icon. Is their VP of Marketing and Sales is Philippe Perotti. Hello, Philippe.
Hello, pleased to be here.
Nice to have you here. And also to tell us about the food at the hotel, extraordinary food there, is their executive chef, David Hackett. Welcome, Chef Hackett.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
We're very excited. He's really filled the studio with food.
Indeed.
Yes, I'm going to put that up on the internet. You'll see all the pictures. And of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any stories, maybe some memories about the history of the Biltmore? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Email is radio@WLRN.org.
And the voice you heard, of course, is our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. You can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column in the Miami Herald. And also his wine column is in the Saturday Miami Herald. Fred, first of all, we already said Happy New Year.
Yeah, so happy anniversary as well.
Okay,
indeed, thank
that's
you.
Right. And what are we drinking this year?
Well, this is the New Year, so I'm going to talk about wine New Year's resolutions.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, anxious to hear about that. Well, let's start with Philippe Perotti. I think January 15th, 1926, he's nodding his head, was the gala opening of the Biltmore. So what was Miami like then? What was the hotel like then?
Well, actually, the Biltmore was actually the first building in Coral Gables at that time.
Biltmore was the first building?
Yes, one of the first building, because George Merrick, who really built Coral Gables, was in the real estate and wanted to bring a lot of clients from the Northeast market, and obviously needed a hotel to welcome them and then to be able to sell the land and do his business.
Very smart. So he brought them here.
Absolutely.
And then he, so he enticed, that was a good way to entice people.
Absolutely. And the hotel at his opening welcomed really 1,500 celebrities, jet setter, leaders of the time. So it was one of the most fashionable hotel at the time.
It was also a really big national campaign to attract people to Coral Gables. They'd have big band remotes there, Paul Whiteman and the orchestra, live from Coral Gables.
Wow, so really, and all these stars came.
Joe, you were there?
The Biltmore's had many lives in its 90 years. At one time, I think it was a hospital?
It was a hospital. It was actually an Air Force veteran hospital during the World War II. I mean, from the 42 to 68, actually, the Biltmore was a hospital and welcomed a lot of veterans, obviously, during that time. So it was a very specific time for the Biltmore.
What a nice place to recover.
Absolutely.
And but then it reopened again. It had a big renovation.
Big renovation, $55 million renovation.
In the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the hotel also at that time became historical landmark officially.
Historic landmark.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm just translating a little bit from your Philippe, as you can imagine, is from France.
You know, when I lived in Coral Gables, we had foxes in our backyard. And I understand that was the legacy of the fox hunts they used to have at the Biltmore.
Absolutely. That's the legacy from really the beginning when the hotel first opened. George Merrick was a visionary, so he used to do a lot of things that nobody thought about doing at that time. So fox hunt, we used to have also gondolas on the canal, and we were bringing the guests of the hotel to what was Tahiti Beach at that time. Obviously with real gondoliers as well. So very original for the time.
Wow.
What was the beach Where was the beach?
Actually, the beach is now in Coco Plum.
Yeah, it's the Tahiti beach there. And I still have foxes in my backyard. Just wanted you to know that.
I'm glad to know they didn't get them all.
Cute little critters, though, aren't they?
No, I don't think so. Anyway, not when I'm looking at them. And Chef Hackett, I was so surprised. I mean, all the years I've gone to the Biltmore to eat dinner and all of that, but I didn't realize how many dining venues there are there. And you have filled our studio with something from each one. So let's start with we can sit around the pool and eat? What are we eating?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We've brought food from each of the four different venues that we have. So Cascade is our pool bar, and it is our Mediterranean-style pool bar. So we offer fare from a little bit from Greece and Italy and Turkey, and certainly from Mediterranean region.
It's a casual eating. Anybody can come and sit around the pool and have. Which of the wonderful foods that we have here is from that?
Oh, we offered. We brought in today. We brought different hummuses. So we brought in traditional chickpea hummus. We brought in a smoked fish dip. So white fish, shrimp, and smoked mahi, and then we brought in a tomato and avocado, kind of like a caponade.
Well, and there's a huge basket of homemade breads.
All the food at the Biltmore is scratch. A lot of the products and even the breads are from scratch. We have a full production bakery. So we brought in a lot of our flatbreads, grissini sticks, focaccia. The only thing that's not in there that we didn't make is the pita. So the pita bread, we do purchase a great pita for the Mediterranean-style pool bar Cascade, but all the breads throughout the building are from scratch.
Right? I had to get into that fish dip. Whoa.
Wow, that's delicious. Mm-hmm. I know. It's outstanding. Wow. And then we have over here a charcuterie platter, and it's got all different kinds of cheese and...
That's correct.
Next to me.
That's our Italian restaurant.
Joe's so busy eating, he's not talking.
You got to have that with the focaccia. The focaccia bread is absolutely fantastic. We make two different types. We make an alla focaccia and a plain focaccia. We have two different types of ciabattas that we offer. In Fontana as well, an olive and a plain.
So the Fontana is an Italian-style restaurant, which is sort of a medium to upper price, would you say?
Correct. That's our three-meal period restaurant. We do offer breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then also Fontana is home of our wonderful best brunch in Miami.
Oh, you guys are making me so hungry. I guess after the show I'll go make a hot dog or something.
Okay, so wait a minute. Never mind that. Sitting here, I have one of my favorite things, and it's from your... more upscale restaurant.
That's correct. Palm d'Or is our five diamond restaurant. Again, Palm d'Or, just like Fontana, we have great chefs in each of these venues. Chef Gregory Pugin is the chef of Palm d'Or. Gregory is our Michelin star chef. He brings a lot of experience, certainly into our modern French restaurant.
But I'm having
foie gras. And it's topped with our cranberry bread and a jelly.
Yes, very nice. Mm.
And this is from the other restaurant.
That's our 19th hole. 19th hole is our sports bar, more American casual, but we do try to throw in a little bit of South Florida flair.
It's like a Cuban sandwich.
It is. It's actually a pretty one of our best Cuban sandwiches, I think, in this area, in the Miami area. You know, we always compare things to the Cuban sandwiches of Versailles restaurant, but our Cuban bread's made in-house from our bakery, and certainly our sandwich is really fantastic.
So there's something for a price level for everyone, and you could go and enjoy the beautiful vistas of the golf course and all of that.
Well, part of the history of the Biltmore is the reputation for the food and the quality and the service standards that we have there. But the vision of the owners that have taken over the Biltmore is they want everybody to experience the Biltmore and stay in the Biltmore. So we have different venues, so people, if they stay there for 4 or 5 days, can actually stay in the hotel.
For the people who not go somewhere.
Right. They can.
We have a very interesting phone call here. We have Gloria in Delray Beach. Hello, Gloria. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm ready to hang up the phone and run to the restaurant.
Okay. Well, talk to us first and then run.
run. I just wanted to say it was before I was born, but my parents did go to the opening of the Biltmore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were there. And as I was saying to the person who answered the phone, it was, of course, a very exciting time in Miami before the boom busted. And my father sold real estate. And then... opened, he was the owner and opened Biscayne Kennel Club Dog Track.
Wow. So yeah. Do you have pictures or do they have stories of that opening?
Unfortunately, I don't have any pictures.
There's so many pictures at the Biltmore, though.
Oh, I would love to have some pictures. You know, ironically, my father wound up there as a veterans patient.
Uh-huh. After the opening. Oh, wow.
Well, this was probably sometime in, I would say, the 50s or 60s. I can't remember exactly when. Mm-hmm. But it was a VA hospital, and, you know, it was just a shame to see it partitioned off and everything. So I can't wait to see it restored. I hope I can make it down there one of these days.
Well, come along.
Oh, I'd love to. Love to. And I love your show, and thank you so much for this wonderful memory.
Thank you. Thanks.
It is very interesting. A lot of the cooks that work for us, a couple of their grandfathers were in the hospital as well. So it kind of like brings them back home when their parents, the grandparents, come to visit.
Okay. Wow. How interesting. Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and my guests are Philippe Parodi and Chef David Hackett from the Biltmore Hotel. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and our guests are the Biltmore Hotel Vice President of Marketing and Sales, Philippe Parodi, and the hotel executive chef, David Hackett. Now, the hotel, Biltmore, is celebrating its 90th anniversary this year. They've been telling us about the history and filling us up with all this wonderful food from the many restaurants there at the hotel. But right now, it's dinner in minutes time. So in case you're not going to the hotel for dinner tonight, here's a really quick 15-minute homemade soup, and it's not going to break your calorie bank. It's called Country Mushroom and Sausage Soup and Garlic Crostini. So you buy some sliced mushrooms in the supermarket. You get some turkey sausage. And Joe, yes, you can use another sausage.
Okay.
But I have turkey sausage. You slice it. And you saute those in a little bit of olive oil for a few minutes. Then I add some pasta sauce and chicken broth. And then we simmer for 15 minutes. And that's it. And the secret to the soup is buying a really good pasta sauce. It gives you the body and the flavor, and it makes it real simple soup that you can have. And while the soup cooks, spray some multigrain bread with olive oil. I cut a garlic clove in half, and I take the cut side and I rub it against the bread and toast the bread for a minute. And that's the whole 15-minute complete meal, the complete recipe and a photo. It's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. And the photos of the food, that'll be up on Instagram. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking this year?
Well, talking about resolutions, and when I make a New Year's resolution, I like to make ones that I can keep. So every year I resolve the same thing, to drink more wine. Don't you agree, Linda?
I guess you'll be able to keep that resolution, Fred.
I'm certainly going to try. Oh, I don't mean more volume, of course. I mean
no,
more
we
variety.
Knew that.
Turns out there are 10,000 varieties of grapes in the world, and more than 1,000 of them are used in commercial wine production. So ask yourself, what percentage of those have you tried? Wine industry magazines say the average American prefers only about 5 wines, and they're Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Grigio, Sauvignon Blanc, and Pinot Noir. And there's nothing wrong. These are wonderful wines, but it's tragic to mix out on so many other equally delicious wines. So, wine lovers, here's your homework assignment. I'm going to describe 2 very nice alternate wines, not really that unusual, and I want you to go out this very day and buy one of them and have it for dinner. First, a white wine of the Tangent brand Albarino from California. This is nice
Albarino,
and crisp.
I always thought that was Portuguese.
Intense flavors of white grapefruit and minerals, and it's great with seafood, and it's only about $17.
Fred, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but Albarino, isn't that Portuguese? No?
It comes from northern Spain, Galicia,
oh, it's
really.
Northern Spain, okay.
But they're growing it now in California as well.
Oh, that's
doing
interesting.
A pretty good job.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, now a red wine, Jameson Ranch Whiplash Zinfandel, also from California. And this is rich and hearty with flavors of red raspberries and cinnamon. And it's a good wine for everyday foods, meatloaf, pork roast, cheeseburger, meat lovers, pizza, that sort of thing. It's $15. Now, if you can't find these exact brands, just ask your wine merchant for another good example of the grape in question. And finally, be sure to take notes so you can get the wine again if you turn out to like it. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said they had this marvelous wine the night before, but they can't remember what it was. And you don't want to see a grown man cry, do you?
We certainly don't, Fred. Thank you very much. We'll look for these wines in the new year, Fred Tasker. Thank you.
In the new year, right.
In the new year. Yeah, the new wines. Okay, so Chef Hackett and Philippe Parodi, we've been talking about the wonderful food and the history of the hotel and all, but we left out one. You have a cooking school there.
Absolutely. We have the Culinary Academy at the Biltmore, where it's a more of a, there's interactive cooking, there's a team building events that we do for, you know, if you wanted to bring in your friends and have a team building interactive cooking. There's private cooking classes with the chefs. You know, the Italian restaurant, we had a great chef, same as Giuseppe or Beppe Galazzi, and then certainly Chef Gregory Pugin as well, our pastry chef, French.
So you can come and have a class.
Yes.
Now, is there a schedule, or do you have to call in and say, I have a group of 10, I want to come in?
You can, if you wanted to gear it towards that. If you wanted to do a team building, you have a group of 10, we can cater a menu towards that, or you can choose to make it like tapas style, where you'll have a group of people.
So I can get a lesson from the Biltmore pastry chef?
That's correct. Yeah, we do offer classes, and online, we have the schedule of classes that are listed online there as well. So there, throughout the months, there's different things that we
offer. Finally get that pie crust down.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll find out, won't we? We have several calls here. Line two. Hello, Jay. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Jay in Coconut Creek.
Yes, hi. Is Bonnie?
No, this is Linda, but you can talk to Bonnie, too.
Hi, Jay.
Okay. Hey, I want to congratulate Philippe and David on their 90th anniversary at the Biltmore. And I can't believe you mentioned the Paul Whiteman Orchestra. My musical coach was Chet Hazlett, who played in Paul Whiteman's orchestra, and I got a picture, a photograph of them standing in the bottom of your pool. Of course, the pool was drained, and so your hotel is on my bucket list. I want to go there and stand in the pool and do a selfie, but you're going to have to drain the pool. Then afterwards, I'll have some wine and maybe go to the Culinary Academy.
Okay.
And Bonnie, by the way, your voice is fantastic. I forgot to tell you that if there's ever a hurricane warning, I want to hear it come from you because you're so soothing.
Oh, well, let's hope I never have to do that. But thank you. Thanks,
Jay. Thanks for your
call.
And one more call, Thomas. Thomas in Miami. Hello, Thomas. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, Thomas. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to share. I had a nice reminiscence of the Biltmore. I had gone there for my 10-year high school reunion, Coral Gables High, and it was right after they had reopened it. It had been, you know, so sad to see it all shuttered and, you know, boarded up, you know, and up until like the early 80s. And then when they reopened it and renovated, I think they'd only been open maybe about a year or two, and we had such a great time. It was the summer of 87, and the dining room was just, you know, beautifully restored. I think it was the main dining room. You know, now they've got the different, you know, venues there as far as the different names. So I really don't remember what it was called then, but we had such a great time.
Great. Okay. Thank you for your call. Glad you enjoyed it. And Chef and Philippe, I think people can have special events.
Absolutely. I mean, either in one of our restaurants, obviously, in the Culinary Academy, but we do have also a conference center where we have a lot of ballrooms and we can have weddings. I mean, the hotel is very well known, obviously, for all the weddings we're organizing. We have approximately 120 to 150 weddings a year.
Now, are you going to be having some special events for your anniversary? Anything going on with that?
Oh, we don't want to spoil it.
It's a secret, or should we go to their website?
At the moment, we are obviously talking about it, and this is something which is in the plan, but maybe a little bit later in the year, around the month of June.
Okay, so this is a big secret that
it's a surprise.
All right, we'll have to wait for this surprise. And so so we didn't mention, sitting in front of me, this wonderful little box. Tell me what's in it.
Oh.
And it's mine, Joseph.
Yeah. A different assortment of homemade chocolates or truffles. that we offered in Palm for the holidays. So the yellow one is more of a lime, and then of course the one that looks like chocolate pot is chocolate, and the dark red one is a wild berry. And what's the I can't see the
lemon color?
No, that's the green one is the mint one. The okay, yellow so, one is the more
and
the
it's chocolate
lemon
underneath.
Lime.
Right. So
Linda,
so,
as I recall, there were more than one box of them.
I don't know where they are.
Yes, there were
Linda.
Five of them.
There were five boxes.
There were?
Yes, there were.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, we'll talk later. but the reason I mention it is not just the fact that these are wonderful chocolates here, but so much of your food is made in-house. A lot of it you don't bring in.
That's correct. We are, we call it scratch cooking. We probably prepare about 96% of everything in-house, from sauces to soups to all of our salad dressings. There are things that we do
for
buy.
For all the restaurants?
That's correct. Like,
wow.
we'll buy a fantastic mayonnaise, or we'll buy, you know, items that that we need this for health purposes. You know, like, we do have to buy our eggs that are liquid eggs with citrus in them, citric acid in them, mainly for our omelets and stuff like that. Anything whole, fresh would be like egg over easy would be our organic egg. But again, a lot of the stuff is made from scratch every day. All the pastries are.
There are very few restaurants, I think, today who are actually making their own sauces and that kind of thing.
Well, one of the reasons that we do that is mainly because we know the ingredients that are going in it. Now that a lot of people have a lot of the allergies, so we want to be able to know what's
in the
food.
To know what
it is. Absolutely.
Well, that's wonderful. We could talk more and more about this wonderful food. Philippe Parodi, thank you so much for joining us.
It was a great pleasure.
And Chef David Hackett, thank you, and for the very delicious food.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy.
The Biltmore Hotel is located at 1210 Anastasia Avenue in Coral Gables. Next week, we'll be talking with Dirt restaurant owner Jeff Latulippe, and the chef there is Nicole Votano. They have some hints on how we can keep our New Year's food resolutions. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.